I have not watched an adult program of any type in years. I'm watching March Madness on my phone while my kids watch an 80-inch television. Yo Show. Dean, how are you?
Hi, Michael. Great to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited you're here because I have two kids, 7 and 4. So I'm in the pocket of Kidstream, exactly what you're doing today. But I want to go back to like how you got in television and how you even got interested in the TV world.
Well, it's funny. I was just like you. My kids were younger, and I had a really good friend who was working at the time for one of the big kids shows called back in the 90s called Thomas the Tank Engine. And he was sending my kids stuff, and I just realized how powerful that was. Then it kind of went into that, and I was actually working in Louisville, Kentucky at the time. I was working for the headquarters of KFC, a finance guy. I wasn't a TV guy at all. And then he asked me to help him start a business plan because I was kind of his business guy. And next thing I knew, I put a business plan together, and I thought, this kid's entertainment is cool. You know, and you can see it as you do how powerful a draw it is. And I always say, you know, we had the same statistic when I was back in the 90s we use today. Parents of young children spend about 80% of their budget with their young children in mind. When you go on vacation or when you buy a car or when you buy something for your house, where you live, you're always thinking about your young children. So we realized it was a good market if you could reach that. And of course, it's something that the parents approved of.
So. And one thing I'm seeing now is having kids, like I have not watched an adult program of any type in years. I don't even know what's going on in the news. I don't know my favorite sports team. I have to, like, I love the Miami Hurricanes. I'm a huge Miami Hurricanes football fan.
All right, yeah.
And I literally have to tell everyone, the TV is mine from this time to this time. I don't care what you do. This is the only time. And I'm watching March Madness on my phone while my kids watch an 80-inch television.
They got the big screen for
screen for Bluey or Kidstream or whatever they're watching, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, and it's nice that you're doing that with your kids because it's to see what they're watching is important. It really is, because there's a lot of things out there for kids that aren't as good as other things. Bluey is a great one. Disney has that one. We really love that show. Came from Australia. We have a lot of great creators down in Australia. We have quite a few of our shows come from there. So just like Bluey.
Can I tell you what I don't like about cartoons or animation today?
Yeah, I'd love to hear. Yeah.
The biggest problem is I know they're trying to make kids better, but now they're trying to make parents better. And now my kids think I have all day to play. I don't have a job because Bluey's father doesn't have a job. So I remember when I was young, all you saw was the feet of an adult and they'd be like, I'm going to work. And that's all you saw. Now these parents are so interactive with the kids in the cartoons. I think it gives false belief to kids that their parents are like that.
You know what? That's a good point. Not all shows do that, but that is a really good point. You know, kids behave on what they see in the show. You know,
100%.
I was in line the other day getting into a trade show, and I was just always chatting with parents of young kids. And this mother said to me, you know, my kids watched this one show. It was something on YouTube with pirates. And she goes, my son's always mean at me when his dad watches the show. So I'm like, I don't let him watch it anymore. I said, yeah, because, you know, they really do emulate things on the show. I don't want to say there are mostly really great kid stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that's not as good.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I don't want you to take it as I think Bluey's bad. I think Bluey's great. I just think the only thing wrong with it gives false expectations to kids.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've never heard that one. I love that one. I love that point of view. But
yeah,
you're
because
right.
I'm getting it from a 7 and 4-year-old. It's like when your kid goes, why can't you play all the time like Bluey's dad? Like, well, this is not, and I don't want to say it's not real and crush their dreams. So I'm just like, well, you know, that's a different world they live in, I guess.
I hear you. No, that's a really good writing on that show too. You know,
we
try to pick shows that only have really good creators. So we look back at who puts those shows together. Really, when we select our shows, we have new shows, a lot of brand new ones, and we have some real classics. And we really have a nice mix for kids.
What makes a good kids program, because eventually, and the reason why I say this, eventually I want to work on a kids book and then hopefully get to animation one day.
Right.
So this is very educational for me because I write comedy. People know about my family and kids. My kids are black, white, and Asian. I call them pandas.
I love that.
I want to create this panda world for them. But what makes a good cartoon slash book, and just what doesn't connect with kids?
Well, it's a great lead in. I mean, kids want to see themselves in some way in these shows. You know, there's something they can relate to. You know, we have all sorts of shows, even if they're animal based, it's something that they can kind of relate to a character, not something so far out that they don't have that. And comedy is really key. I mean, kids, everybody likes to laugh. Entertaining is the most important thing. You can't fool a young child. So it has to be entertaining first, you know, some sort of story that goes along, and they really like to relate to something in that, whether it's a character, could be, you know, a dog or a cat that they relate to. But it's usually something that good creators tell me. There's always something in there that the kids can actually relate to. Families. That's why Peppa Pig was a show.
Oh, sure.
We have a cute show called Pom Pom Little Bear that I can't believe it hasn't blown up yet in the U.S. We're the only ones that have it. Maybe that's, you know, hasn't kind of hit the, but it's very much like that. It's a family, a father, a mother, a son, and he actually, instead of a sister, he has a little best friend. They're all three bears, and she's a raccoon named Rita. And anyway, it's that same kind of fun, you know, things that they kind of run into in their family.
What I think, and I don't want to say this is easy about the platform, because there's nothing easy about launching a platform or having a cartoon go viral. But what's great about it, once it does, and I believe you may have even said this, I heard this, you don't need a lot of it. Because my kids watch the same episodes literally 100 times.
You are right. That is really the beauty of getting in. I think you were picking the right thing. First of all, you're funny. So, I mean, if you can relate to, and you have kids that you can relate to. So, but you're right. You don't need to produce all this new content like Apple does with Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Because they've got to come up with a new season every year. Kids love to watch the same things, and repetition is good for them to build confidence. And so that is, you're right. Kids' entertainment in that respect is, you can run a series. We've got series that are, you know, 10, 20 years old that are still really good. And you don't need a new one for each one. Like you and I would probably want to see on a drama or something.
You know? Oh, yeah. How far into one of these? Because I'm fascinated about this, because my son will watch some and know pretty much the first 20 seconds if he wants to watch it or not.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, you don't even know if it's good yet. But like, if he watches Bluey or Peppa Pig, the first time I remember he saw it, he was engaged at the beginning. What is it? And how do adults determine what a kid is going to like in the first 20 or 30 seconds to invest years in a cartoon?
That's a good point. That's a really good point. It is kind of an X factor that you can't really, you can put all the big money behind a show and not get that. I think creators in general, the people that create these shows, the really good ones, kind of have a way to relate to kids, because kids are really smart. You can't fool them either. You can't just say, oh, we're going to teach you about this and that. Even in an educational show, we have a lot of shows that we would, quote, call educational. But every one of them is story, fun-driven shows that gets kids into it. But you're right. What made one of these a bigger hit than another? I think kids like something a little bit unique and different. They like a little something that's maybe naughty in a way that they kind of get the joke, but nothing too, you know, we don't have anything scary naughty or bad humor, but they might like a little bit of an inside joke on it that they seem to appreciate. One of the shows we have is called Lazy Town.
Yep.
And it's a fun show about healthy lifestyle, but if you called it, I know the creator really well. He always said if you called it Happy Town, they wouldn't watch it. You know, so there's this kind of fun thing about Lazy Town, even though no one's lazy in Lazy Town. That's the theme, and so it's kind of a little bit of fun to kind of draw a kid in to the first episode. Sometimes you need to have. That's just one example of the. You know, we have 60 or 70 shows that we have in different genres. You know, we believe in diversity. not only in the characters, but we have all different styles. We have puppet shows from Jim Henson, and we have, you know, live action shows. We have different characters on the shows from different countries. So we would like to give the kids a real diversity and let them kind of explore it on their own and find
out. How much do the colors of a character matter? Because after Bluey exploded in our house, I start looking and I notice a lot of characters are the same type of blue or same type of colors. Is there certain colors that connect with kids and others that don't, that you know of when you make a show?
I don't really think that's how it works. I think you might have seen a lot of people. What the industry tends to do is, when there's a hit, you get a lot of Me Too shows out there too. You might have seen a lot
just
of
copy it, right?
I'm going to do exactly what Bluey did. But that's not really how it's usually something unique and original that sets it apart. And I'll tell you one thing about Bluey, is that it was from an independent creator. Most of the really hit shows don't come from the big studios. I mean, it's on Disney, but Disney didn't create that show. It came from a small studio. And these independent creators who we work with are the ones that usually bring out the hits, because they don't follow a formula. You know, like the big companies, which I have respect for all those big stations. But if you look at the TV, kids TV stations now, they'll run the same show 10 times in a row.
Oh yeah.
Because they're selling advertising, and they really only care about what works and what's drawing the kid in. You know, they don't have, they used to be, you know, back in the day, they had a variety of shows. You'd watch one show here, another show here, another show. Now they're just pumping as much as they can get into what works for them. So if it's a show like, I don't know, Paw Patrol, they'll run it, you know, Nick Jr., who's a great station, runs it maybe 10 times in a row. It's like, why would you ever do that? Because they're not really looking for that variety that we are. You know, we're looking for like a really nice place for you to come and explore and find things that you like and find things that you haven't heard of yet, too. And so that's one thing I think about with the colors. I've seen all sorts of different colors work. I mean, you know, you do like something that really pops on the screen. So I would say, you know, when you come in to sell a show to a TV station, I used to be on that side of it. The visuals are really important. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, you could sell a really good written show without a lot of visuals, but when they see the visuals, we're kind of a culture that's attracted to that visual. So you really, if you are going to create a show, it might be better to try to do it without the visuals, and then, unless you had a strong visual, and then come in with a really strong visual. Yeah.
When you're creating a show, because I remember I started the process of a kid's book probably like 5 years ago and never got around finishing it because I heard certain rules that there are, and I don't know if they apply to television. You never want to introduce things that age group doesn't know about. But when I watch Bluey, I'm like, they introduce a lot of things my kids probably don't know about.
Yeah, no, I think those rules have been broken in a good way. In a good way. You know, kids are so smart. I mean, is your son second grade, third grade? How old?
First grade right now.
First grade. They're so smart. I was just in with some first and second graders. I couldn't believe how smart these kids are.
They're so much advanced compared to us at that same age. Like, their reasoning is insane. It's so good, their reasoning.
I know it. And it blows me away. So when we don't want to ever talk down to these kids.
Yeah.
We like to give them things that are ahead of them, and yet we don't want to ever give them something that we feel is too scary or too much, you know, negative stuff going on in it. So we try to keep, you know, bad-spirited humor out and things like that.
Has there ever been a show you created, maybe not for this platform, but for another platform when you work with other people, and you go, this is a hit, and it just didn't work?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it didn't work, but it never made that hit, because there are a lot of great shows out there that never got to that level of hit.
Yeah.
And I've worked with some that have got to that level of hit, so I know what it's like. It's one out of, you know, 50 or 40, but you can still create a great show. I was an EP on a show by a creator named Martin Baynton called The Book Hungry Bears. We have it on our channel. To me, I was sure that was going to be the next, you know, major, you know, Sesame Street, or because it's a really cute show, these bears. In fact, one's a panda. four different kinds of bears, and they sit around and read a book together. And it's about shared reading, and it's just such a cute show. And, you know, sometimes it's the timing. It doesn't hit the right spot at the right time, yeah. So people don't know about it. But you can still find it later. That's a good one to check out on our station.
I will, yeah.
Yeah, the Book Hungry Bears. And it's all about shared reading. You know, kids, when they're young, don't read themselves. Parents mm-hmm. read to them. And this book is really about that. They're always sharing a story together. And it's really done in a really cool way. And this guy's a children's author, too. So he really was really a passion project for Mark.
What capacity did you have with the Teletubbies coming to the U.S.?
Yeah, good question. We were their, quote, agent. Now, an agent in kids' TV is a little bit different than your probably agent. Mm-hmm. We actually sold the television, you know, to the places like PBS or into other stations around the world. We also did all the licensing deals. So we would do a deal with Hasbro or with Warner Brothers at the time for DVDs, because this was when they were DVDs, yeah. Which there's no more of those, or backpacks and live shows. So we were a lot more hands-on. We also did the PR for the Teletubbies in-house. So we were an agent, but we really were kind of their business representatives here in all the Americas. Yeah.
Now, where did the Teletubbies first blow up?
It blew up in the UK. It was, we had it, it blew up in 97 and we brought it over in 98. And it was on the, you know, it started out on the BBC over there. It was a huge hit, but it was very controversial in that it was targeted for young children. And at the time, people thought that was bad, that you were making a show for young kids. What the creator who created it, a woman named Ann Wood, believed, and she was a school teacher, is that kids were watching stuff at a young age that wasn't appropriate for them. So she created a show that was really focused on that young mind and how they developed cognitively. And one of the big things was repetition. That's where I learned a lot about repetition. The Teletubbies originally, if you watched them, they had a little segment where they watch live kids, and then they'd say again and again. And she would cut down the favorite bits, she called it, out of that video. So you'd watch, let's say, 3 or 4 minutes, and then you'd watch another 90 seconds of the stuff you just saw. Mm-hmm. Now, parents, that would pull their hair. I just saw that. But kids, they really worked on that, and that really worked for them. And different things, like at the time, I remember she has these little voice trumpets that come out of the ground. Looks a little bit freaky, but she said kids are growing up now with speakerphones. They don't know what they are. You know, they're hearing things. So she had really put a lot of things into that show. And they didn't speak in a very proper way. They spoke in like a little kid would speak. And that was another thing that was controversial. But fortunately, we had a really amazing, the head of programming at PBS, a woman named Alice Kahn, who took a chance on it, who believed in the creator, you know, stood up to all the potential reasons not to do it. And it turned out to be a massive hit for them as well, for PBS.
So huge. So yeah. Now that show, Ann Wood, it probably changed your life. Like, Ann Wood, do you ever have to create anything again after a big hit like that?
She, believe it or not, she's still creating. There's a new one out now, but she did another few shows, and she had done a couple before that. You know, we had gotten involved with her 2 years before she did the Teletubbies. She had a great show, still is a great show, but it's called Tots TV. Mm-hmm. And at the time, she introduced a character that spoke a foreign language, which was way ahead of its time. She had two puppets that spoke English, and in her case, she had one that was speaking French. And the kids were learning it. People kind of adapted that. So she was really, an amazing person. But you're right, financially, I'm sure that one just rocketed her above all others that she's
had. What do you see is the opening right now? Like, what is every network that deals with cartoons and animation, what are they looking for now? Like, what's the thing now?
Boy, if I knew.
That we're going to see in the future. Like, is there, because we see a lot of animals, we see a lot of people in these things. Is there some type of genre that's going to come out that we're all going to be like, okay, my kids are.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of, you know, one little thing is, I think it's kind of like a pendulum. I always say people run over here and do this and they all follow them. And then it's this thing that you left behind that kind of comes back. So, you know, sometimes people think, oh, I need something really, preschool is not good anymore. And then it, then, you know, Bluey comes back, or you, you know, you're afraid to work with live action, or you're afraid to work with stop motion. So I don't, you know, they've done so many different things. One of the things that is good for us is the U.S. broadcasters are pretty focused on their major. So if they have a big hit, like a, you know, I'll use, Disney, in the case of this Bluey, they'll want a show that can sit next to Bluey, or their other shows. Nickelodeon will want one that sits next to SpongeBob. So they'll have a kind of a family on the channel. We're trying all sorts of different things. So there are a lot of educational shows that are coming from different places that are very different, very cool, and yet they don't really fit on their stations because they have a certain, you know, so we're getting first-rate shows. I'm picking up a show I'm launching this week called The Sound Collector. It's handled by a major station in the UK called ITV, that big, you know, one of the top stations in, that does all these kind of classic high-end shows. And it's this cool stop-motion animated show about this little character that's hard of hearing or deaf, but he appreciates the sounds. He wears these headphones, and he goes through nature, and he's got a little friend called the sound collector, and there's a seed collector who's a girl in the show. Just amazing. Keira Knightley is the narrator of this show.
Oh, great.
So, and this is a high-end kind of major production. McKinnon & Saunders is the animation studio who did the Academy Award-winning Pinocchio. So it's really high-end. And my little station, Humble, we're so pleased we have it. We're launching it. We'll be the only broadcaster this year in the U.S. with it. So, you know, you think, how do we compete with people like these major places? Is because we go after shows that might not be shows that they necessarily pick. But we value them, and we have a show with a little girl and her little brother called Bits and Bob learn about engineering at a young age. Very, you know, basic stuff, but they're learning about pulleys and different concepts on a real preschool level that came out of the BBC. So we have, I think, the educational stuff is really, really cool.
Okay, so for a parent like me with kids 7 and 4. On your platform, give me 2 new ones to watch on KidStream and 2 like classics to watch on KidStream.
All right. I'm glad you asked. You know, here's a fun one that no one really knows about. It's only on our channel. It's called Let's Dance. It's a live action show. It's filmed out of Toronto. You're from Canada, or did I read it?
No. I'm going into Toronto for the first time to perform.
I think I saw something that you were going to Toronto. Filmed in Toronto. In a gorgeous studio that it's the National School of Ballet, but it's not about ballet. It's about all these different dances, and it's a live action show. In each segment, the kids learn a few dance moves of different genres. And then these kids, there's like 8 kids, 4 of them in each show, boys and girls. They have a really young dance teacher, and she teaches them things. So you can actually at home learn a few things. My wife and I were going to a disco party. We said, let's play Let's Dance Disco. So we got a few moves down, you know, but it's really for young kids. So that's kind of a brand new one. The other one I definitely would mention is this one coming up that we have called The Sound Collector. You've got to see The Sound Collector, the one I mentioned. All right. And some of the classics that really do well for us, you know, we have the original Thomas the Tank Engines, you know, the Thomas the Train, Thomas and Friends, it's called. We actually have the original episodes that have Ringo Starr as the narrator, the ones that were the first ones that came out, and George Carlin. So we have both. Just a really good classic show. And believe it or not, we also have Barney, some of the original Barney.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
That really still play really, really well. And although Lazy Town is not it is a classic. It's a little older. I'd say Lazy Town is one you got to see. If you haven't seen it recently, it stands up to the test of time.
Oh, we're going to check these out. Anything else?
I'd love to hear what you think about them. Yeah.
I will. Because I am full on to research to do my book and my own animated show. So I will be watching all these.
I'd love to give you feedback anytime you need it. I'm happy to.
Oh, man. Thanks, Dean. Anything else we should know about before I let you go, Dean?
Well, KidStream, you know, you can get it from different places. It's only $4.99 a month. There's no advertising, which we feel is really
important. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Even though advertising's great for, you know, for older adults and things, we think advertising for kids isn't really needed. You can put your kids in a really safe spot. They won't find anything. They won't get in any trouble on KidStream where they could on a bigger platform, even though they, you know, have good kids shows. And you can get us, you know, you can see us, where to find us on our website, kidstream.tv, but we're available as an Amazon Prime Video channel if you have Amazon, Comcast. We're with Comcast Xfinity and Cox, and soon to be, they're expanding with their new Xumo block. So we're really excited to be working with Comcast. Also, you can find us in a bundle with Curiosity Stream, which is
really
cool.
I got Cox. I'm definitely going to check it out.
Check us out on Cox. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on Cox, so we'll order it today.
That's what I have too. I have Cox. That's where I get it. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I want my kids to check it out, and I'll let you know which ones they dig.
Please do check them out. Any others? I'd love to hear what you think. Like I said, we're launching about 2 or 3 new ones every month. I got a bunch coming in too. So,
all right. Well, Dean, thank you so much, man. You have a great one. Okay.
Hey, you too, Mike. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.